Rishus, Rabbi Blau, Rabbi Cohen. Sefer Vayikra is known, as we all know, as the Book of Kohanim. It's known for the Book of Kohanim for obvious reasons. It focuses on the laws of Kohuna, but it also focuses on the idea that we are a Mamlechet Kohanim, that we are a nation of priests. And as the Ramban states in his introduction to Vayikra, the goal of Sefer Vayikra is to try to make sure that the Shekhinah resides amongst the Jewish people, resides in this world. It's a book that not only focuses on the responsibilities of the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, but the responsibilities of us as a Mamlechet Kohanim within the world of Kedoshim Tiyu, of to be spiritually connected. The Bali Kabbalah, on the first word of the Sefer, on the word Vayikra, articulate the fact that the reason why he described Aleph is because the book of Vayikra is to be introduced to the smallest members of our community. And for generations, as we're all aware of, it was the Sefer Vayikra, it was this third book of the Torah, which was the first book that our children learned in school, highlighting the fact that it is this Sefer that speaks about the responsibilities of spirituality, that is the first Sefer that must be learned by our children at the earliest ages of their life. Rav Lichtenstein points out that this Sefer, Vayikra, is interesting for a whole bunch of ways, but the way he points out is the fact that there are only two stories found in Sefer Vayikra. It's otherwise a storyless Sefer. And that is the story of Nadav Avihu in this week's Torah portion, and the story of Megadev, of the one who curses God. And if you look at the handout, which you don't need to look at, but if you look at the handout, you'll notice that I put down both these stories. The story of Nadav Avihu is really only two psukim. Speaks about the fact that Nadav Avihu bring an Eish Zarah on the eighth day on the consecration of the building of the Mishkan. And the more complicated story, the story of the Megadev, which we're introduced to facts that seem initially to be irrelevant, where inserted in the story are laws that seem actually just to create static, but really speak so beautifully about a message that these two stories need to connect to us when we speak about the ideas of spirituality. The second story of Megadev is Vayetze Yisraelis Vahu Ben Ish Mitzri. The first thing we're introduced to is the fact that a Ben Isha Yisraelis, who's a Ben Ish Mitzri, a descendant of an intermarried couple, comes Betoch B'nei Yisrael in the midst of the Jewish people, and he curses Kadosh Baruch Hu. They don't know what to do with him. Vayenichu b'mishmar, he's put into a jail to see what's to happen to him. And then in the middle of the story, before the story concludes, if you look at Pasuk Yud Zayin, we're introduced to laws that we already know. V'ish ki yake kol nefesh adam mos yumas. Someone kills somebody else, they get capital punishment. Umaki nefesh behema yishamena, nefesh tachas nefesh, shever tachas shever, ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein. Halachot that we know already from Sefer Shemos. Umake behema yishamena, umake adam yumas. And then it ends, the story then continues. Oh, by the way, we never finished the story about the Megadev. Vayidaber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael v'yotziu es ha-mekalel michutz l'machaneh. Two stories. One very simple story of Nadav Avihu, and one more elaborate story with a whole bunch of laws put in there like the cream in an Oreo cookie, so to say. What are these stories about, and what are they trying to teach us? And I believe that these stories represent the challenges that come with the entire idea of spirituality, with the entire idea of holiness. And these are stories that are important for us to understand as a community and as individuals. Because sometimes in spirituality, there is too much love, and sometimes in spirituality, there is too much fear. The story of Nadav Avihu is two persons, two great people, that just want more. They just want to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they don't think that in connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there need to be limits, there need to be borders. Whatever you want to do to find God is okay, whether it's within halacha or not within halacha. It's just okay because the goal is spirituality. Nadav Avihu represent the fact it's okay to pursue HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any standards. After all, why are standards important if my goal is to connect to God? And that's a challenge that we are facing in our community, where people in the name of spirituality think that every experience is okay. And while I'm not here to challenge their intent, I'm sure their intent is righteous. It can be righteous and it can also be wrong. And in Sefer Vayikra, there is a tikkun to this type of ability to think that you can do anything for spirituality. And that is, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe acharei Moshe b'nei Aaron, after the death of these two sons of Aaron who want to connect to God with outside halachic limits, Bezot Yavo Aharon el HaKodesh. There is a structure, there is a form, there are limits that allow one to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not coincidental that the framework that is used to allow Aaron to go into the Kodesh Kedashim, by the way, any time that he wants, is a formula that is similar to what happens in the story of Nadav Avihu. It's not coincidental that the story of Nadav Avihu happens on the eighth day, and in order for Aaron to go into the Kodesh Kedashim, he needs to spend 7 days preparing and only on the eighth day to engage. But one is within the structure of halacha and one is not. Therefore, one is permitted, encouraged, and one is forbidden, and one is wrong. And we have a second challenge in spirituality, and that is when one curses God. And is there only one way to curse God? Says the second story in Sefer Vayikra, the story of the Megadev, that there's more than one way to curse God. There is the way of cursing God in which you enunciate words against God. But there are other ways to curse God. For example, when one attacks another human being, Makei Adam, you get the same punishment as if you curse God. Because when you hurt God's creation, when you hurt somebody that is created in the image of God, that is also cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you hurt another person's property, when you damage another person's property, those laws are found within the story of Megadev, that is also cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if you don't treat someone else who's created within the image of God properly, you're not treating HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly. If you destroy an animal for no reason, an animal which we allow one to bring as a carbon, as a substitution for ourselves, because an animal is created within, has a nefesh, has some type of spiritual soul, some type of soul, then in some ways you're also damaging Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the reason why we don't say tischadesh when we wear leather clothing. It's the reason why we need a heter to be able to eat flesh from an animal or meat from an animal. And there's no, and the whole idea behind this notion of the repetition of the damages that are mentioned in the story of the Megadev is because there are two paradigms to the payment of damages that the Gemara tells us. There is the payment of damages for monetary, what we call sheves and ripui. And as the Rambam says in Hilchas Sanhedrin, there's another form of damage, and that's nezek tsar and boshes. And the Rambam reminds us that nezek tsar and boshes cannot be collected by dayanim outside of Eretz Yisrael, because that nezek tsar and boshes are a kenas that have been legislated because someone has cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu by damaging a human being. And therefore, it's not something that can be collected outside of Eretz Yisrael. And so, there are two challenges with spirituality. There's the challenge of Nadav Aviv, the challenge that we want spirituality with no limits, but there's another type of challenge, the challenge of cursing God. What happens when our holiness becomes stifling? What happens when our religious experiences become robotic? What happens when socially manufactured glass ceilings limit the range of religious expression? What happens when creativity, differentiation, multiple portals of spiritual entry are frowned upon or discouraged, even when they are in the parameters of halacha? Then the religious experience can, God forbid, become toxic. Perhaps the Megadev, the one who curses God, the one who in the verse starts off struggling, perhaps this Megadev that the Torah is talking about is a situation in which he's searching for his own personal expression of spirituality, but he can't find it. And therefore he rebels and he curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why the pedigree? Why the need to know that this is a product of a mixed marriage? Because this is like the kid on the block that we tell our kids, or you were told, not to talk to. This is the kid we don't talk about. This is the kid in the dorm or on the street of YU that doesn't act like us, who doesn't have the same values or the same focus. And often it is that exile that we create that causes that individual to actually start to curse. This is the kid that rebels because of his strange family situation or his strange experiences, or because someone told him that a certain religious experience, even though it is permitted and encouraged within halacha, didn't fit within the parameters, the socially orchestrated parameters of the community. There are challenges with spirituality. Sometimes the challenge is the story of Nadav Avihu, where everything is okay. And sometimes the challenge is when one curses God because the creativity to connect has been made off limits, even when it is halakhically sanctioned. So how do we deal with these challenges of spirituality? If this is the sefer of spirituality, of Vayikra, of finding that calling, how do we deal with these challenges? And Sefer Vayikra tells us how to deal with these challenges. Sefer Vayikra introduces to us two paradigms of leaders, the Kohen and the Navi. Two different paradigms of leadership. The Kohen, the prerequisite for him to engage in the Avoda, is he has to wear certain begadim. If he's mechusar begadim, even his belt, he cannot perform his Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The Navi had no specific garb to wear. There's nowhere does it say the Navi needs to wear any specific garb. He can wear a suit, he can wear a colored shirt, a not colored shirt, he can wear whatever he wants. There's no prescription of what the Navi has to wear. The second difference is a Kohen because his father was a Kohen. It depends on Yichus. Why does Yichus play a role in determining who represents Knesset Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash? The Navi, doesn't matter who his father or who his mother was. He can be the product of an incestuous relationship between Yehuda and Tamar. The Navi can be the product of a controversial convert like Ruth. But he can still be the parents of David HaMelech, David the prophet, David the progenitor of the Mashiach. The Kohen and the Navi are there to help calibrate these challenges on spirituality. When my son at the Seder table uses the same Becher that my grandfather used, when we sing the same tunes that we heard from our grandparents at the Seder table, there's a certain sense of the eternality of the Jewish experience. It says that I'm participating in a Mesorah, in a covenantal relationship that's thousands of years old, and that is crucial to the religious experience. It says that what my grandparents And what my great-grandparents lived for, struggled for, died for, continues to be celebrated through us. I told the students of the post-Pesach program that on Sunday night I was at a birthday party for a 100-year-old man. You don't get to those too often. He's the person who named the chair that Rabbi Glasser sits in, that I sat in, the David Mitzner chair. And the chief rabbi of Poland came to this 100-year-old birthday party and brought a set of Sfarim, old set of Mishnah Berurah from 1904. The most unbelievable thing about this set of Mishnah Berurah was not that it was from 1904 on the same date that this person was born, albeit the Mishnah Berurah were several years older than 100 years. The thing that was really blew me away was that the Chafetz Chaim, when he sold the Mishnah Berurah, he checked every volume to make sure that every single page was there and that the printer didn't mess up. And on the inside cover of every single page, there was a word that he wrote that magia or maga or haga, that he checked it over. And in this set of Mishnah Berurah that he gave to this 100-year-old unbelievable philanthropist that the chief rabbi gave, there was still the writing of the Chafetz Chaim that he had checked every one of these volumes. And when I saw that, the first thing I did was take a picture and send it to my children, because just as much as the words of the Mishnah Berurah speak about the eternality of the relationship, the handwriting of the Chafetz Chaim, that one word in the beginning of each volume, speaks to us about the fact that there's a structure and a form that is constant from generation to generation, and that guarantees the immortality of our people. And in the pursuit of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cannot change the structure. And that's where Nadav Aviyu went wrong. And the Kohen's job is to be the guardian of the ritual. The structure and the form, the external components of Judaism have to be guaranteed without compromise. And therefore, his holiness is found in externals, in yichus, and in big day kahuna. But if the only reason why I am still observant is because of history, because of structure and form, if the only reason why I observe Shabbos is because of the structure and form, then what happens is religious activities become dead symbols. And the Navi tells the Kohen, Lama li rozivchechem yomar Hashem? Why do we need the sacrifices if they're not meaningful? Holiness cannot just be about the past. When mitzvot lose their purposefulness, they become dead symbols. Mitzvot must calibrate our spiritual compass. They can't choke us. They have to empower us to look at the world through the prism of Jewish values. And so for the Navi, the structure and the form that the Kohen had to be concerned about wasn't important. It didn't matter who the Navi's parents were. It didn't matter what the Navi was wearing. What mattered was if the Navi was able to create an inspiring personal communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all that counted. Because it's not just about the structure and the form. It's about making sure that we don't stifle and that we find a voice to our spirituality. We are all part of an unbelievable institution. Sometimes we make fun of it, sometimes we're cynical about it, but the bottom line is we're all part of a wonderful institution known as Yeshiva University. There's no other place like this in the Jewish world with a collection of Rashi Yeshiva, of Torah personalities. There's no place like this anywhere. There are thousands of students learning all the time in multiple Bate Medrash, in their rooms, other places. There's no other place like this. But our task has to be, and the question that we need to ask ourselves is, do we make sure that in our time at Yeshiva University, we choose to find a passionate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that affects us in the here and now? The questions that I think we need to ask as a community and as individuals are the following. Are we ensuring that our yeshiva creates sacred moments in time with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it a place that allows everybody who's interested in a spiritual journey to have that spiritual journey? For all of us, not just the cookie cutter students, but for all students, for every individual in the YU community, from the masmid as well as for the student who's not Shomer Shabbos. It's not about creating artificial experiences. It's not about creating nadavavu experiences. It's about the ability to create multiple entry points for people to feel connected to God. Because if we don't do that for our students, if we don't do that for ourselves, are we not involved in cursing God? Are we not involved in not allowing those experiences to be fully actualized? And Yeshiva University is this unbelievable place that we can all find role models that inspire us. But we also have to have the courage to learn from those role models and to create our own paths. As Rabbi Soloveitchik writes so many times, to create our own personal romantic rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sefer Vayikra is about asking us to hear the calling. It is introducing to us two paradigms of leaders who help us navigate those experiences, the structure and the form, and the informality of the experience. It has two stories, a warning that not everything goes in spirituality, and a warning that when we choke opportunities, that is also a form of giduf, of cursing God. The challenge that we have as we read through this Sefer, the challenge that we have as we go through Sfiras HaOmer and prepare for Matan Torah, is are we really going to read Sefer Vayikra? And are we up for the task of hearing its call so that it affects each and every one of us, so that we all feel ways in which that we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Thank you.